the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up to Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP.
Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
And my heart is here.
Save it for Missyak. Missyak, wraparound attempt, right to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! Into the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thanks a lot, Josh. We do appreciate it. And, yeah, welcome, everybody, from the Turbo Agency in downtown Hancock, our second broadcast of the Joe Schott Hour here from the Turbo Agency. We'd like to thank, of course, Jeff, Bob, Mike, and Marcia, everybody involved here at the Turbo Agency for having us again. And, Bob, we really appreciate this. This is the final Joe Schott Hour of the 2019-20 season, and we've got some special guests in here today. But, again, we appreciate you having us here today.
Thank you. And it's hard to believe that it's already been close to half a year since we had your puck drop show in, what was it, the end of September or beginning of October?
Yeah. That's right.
And with the highly unusual end, everything came in a screeching halt in a hurry.
So it really did.
We're happy to host.
Thank you very much. We'll get to your questions here today. We'll talk to some of the other people from Turbo Agency. And, of course, the big boost to the program today is Coach Kevin Luke is with us today. We've been promoting it all weekend long once we got confirmation from all of his people with our people and ready to go with that. So we'll talk about the men's basketball season as well. But I don't know where to start really here, Coach, but I guess give me your thoughts, if you can, on what you guys and the team were going through as you're already down close to Mankato or getting on the way there, what the whole process was when everything got canceled.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the Turbo Agency for hosting us. This is a great room we have this in. And all these pictures, they have a whole bunch of pictures on the wall of the bridge in different capacities. People email me if you know where I can get pictures like this of the bridge, because I want to start the same collection. I love these pictures of our bridge here of all different kinds. So like to know where you get them anyways. But we were actually somewhere around Minneapolis on our way. They were in the process of changing the format, maybe going to a one-game format instead of going a series, trying to do whatever they could to minimize risk but maximize competition. And then we got the call, and I think Ray Bryce or someone tweeted out actually exactly what happened. I got the call and that it was all done. And I said, I asked the bus driver to pull over at the first available stop, which was a exit somewhere in Minnesota there that had a Holiday gas station. And I let the guys know what the deal was, that it was all done. And thank the seniors, and thank the entire team, and especially the seniors. I thought they did an incredible job of reestablishing things this year. Thank them. I think it was a little more emotional for me than it was for them. Their kids are so resilient, but it was, I thought we were ready. I thought our team was ready to go. We'd done a lot of work to prepare. I thought it was going to be a great series. We'd won 6 of our last 7. We were playing good hockey. We were scoring some goals. We were getting good goaltending. Defending was good. Special teams were moving the puck well and preventing well. So I thought we were ready to have a really good series. When they were changing possibly to a one-game format, I thought, well, that's even maybe a little better for
us.
We can go in there and sting them on that first game before they can make adjustments and catch on to what we're doing. But that never occurred. So we turned around and came right home. So it was a quick trip, and I completely lost Friday. Friday was Monday to me. I'm Catholic. I had chicken noodle soup. I had meat. I completely lost the day. I thought it was, I just felt like it was Monday the whole day. And it was kind of surreal when my phone hit and Laura's phone hit at the same time, saying on the college hockey app there that game's starting in so many minutes. That was a little bit difficult for me. The good thing for me personally, Coach Luker probably feels the same on this Uper Comedy Hour that we're going to have, but I had that pit in my stomach that when it was over. Last year I didn't have that. For the first time ever in my career, I didn't have that. I knew that we had to change some things and get back to work, and And but I had that pit in my stomach this year because this team was how you want a team, continued to get better, was growing, practices were getting better, everything was heading in the right direction. We were growing and as time went on, and if you're continuing to get better, you're closing any gaps that are there with your competition. So players were adjusting well, highly coachable, working hard, mood was good. So it was disappointing I had that pit.
Coach Kevin Luke is with us from the men's basketball team at Michigan Tech. You guys are obviously headed to the NCAA tournament. I mean, this is huge. Ready to take on Bellarmine, another good team. But as far as what I've been reading and listening to and everything, Coach, this tournament was wide open. I mean, there was no, you know, top of the heap and everybody else. It kind of was everybody. And I just, can you go through your roller coaster ride with you guys, where you were and all that stuff?
Yeah, I will. Again, thanks, Coach Joe and Dirk, for inviting me here today. And, you know, certainly the Turo Agency for being great friends and sponsors of Michigan Tech Athletics. It's nice to be here. Disappointing topic, obviously, you know, coming to an end. Our story was we had flown to Chicago. We were in line to go to Indian, you know, final 45 minute run to Indianapolis, and my telephone rings and it was Suzanne, and she said it's over. And the guys are standing there, and of course, by my reaction, they knew that it was over, and we're in line. Do we get on the plane? Now we're getting yelled at by the airlines. Are you coming or not?
Oh, geez.
So we actually put them on the plane for this reason. We knew we had a place to stay, and we knew we had ground transportation, not knowing when we were going to come home, but we did make the final trip. So what we ended up doing was going to Indianapolis for dinner and then coming home. Very disappointing for the program, because as I listened to Joe talk, you know, I thought we were playing great. The tournament was wide open, and watching all the teams that we could have potentially run into, I thought we were doing things very well defensively. I thought that our offense, and you know, I'm not, you have to win this as a team, but you know, with a guy like Kyle Monroe, a guy that can put 50 up on any given night, you like your chances, and that's what we thought going into it. And certainly a disappointment for all athletes, all sports at this time of the year, because you know, we talk about the seniors, and yes, the seniors got the raw end, but think of all the freshmen and sophomores and just players in general that still would have been playing, that mm-hmm. their opportunity to experience a national tournament was taken away. I've been here 33 years. This is only the ninth time I've had a chance. And, you know, you talk about getting over it. I don't know if you can ever get over this, but you have to learn from it and make adjustments. And the next time this becomes available, learn from any curveball that life has thrown us. And this certainly was a curveball for all sports. And you got to learn, and you got to try to bring something different to the table if it happens again.
So many parallels. I know you guys talk a lot, but between the two teams, I mean, just how throughout the season you had a couple of episodes where you felt you stubbed your toe a little bit. Maybe, you know, are we going to get better? Are we not going to get better? But then at the end, both teams playing so well, and you were playing your best basketball.
Without a doubt, and we do, Coach Joe and I talk a lot about our programs and what to do in this situation, what to do in that situation, and, you know, certainly we're pulling for them, and I know that he's pulling for us, and identical teams right now, both playing well, and the situation was, who knows where it would have ended, what would have happened, you know, and they were given an opportunity possibly for a one game, and on a one game you like that because of the, how we were playing, and you know, certainly we would have really enjoyed having him move on, and you know, in our situation, you know, it would have been a three game we're in a do or die situation as far as win and move on or lose and go home, and certainly without that opportunity, we'll never know, but yet, nonetheless, very proud of what the team has accomplished, how we did it, and playing our best basketball at the end of the year.
So, Coach Sean, now these guys that probably would have been, or, you know, that want to play professional hockey, how does that affect the guys that are no longer, you know, that are moving on from the team? How does that affect with everything shut down right now?
Well, there's no, what I saw this weekend at the NHL, normally there's a lot of PTOs
guys playing PTOs, ATOs, tryout contracts where they're playing games right now. On top of that, you have guys that are signing contracts like Mitch Rentke did, where they're negotiating in when they're free agents, high-end free agents, where they can play in a variety of places. So they're going on the best deal they can get. And Mitch Rentke's best deal came from St. Louis a couple years ago, where they were willing to put him right in on an NHL contract right away and burn that first year of his contract of a two-year deal. So after one further year, he's on his second contract, and that's the reason that he really signed and left, because they were willing to do that. There is none of that available right now. They've said that there'll be no early in and outs. College free agents are going to be able to burn a year on their contract this year. So anybody that's signed right now to a contract, its first effective date will, I believe, be July 1st or July 31st or something like that. So it'll begin their contract for the following year. So you're going to see probably less signings right now because there's more time on the table for players. Everybody's at the same stage with regards to that. So, and the other side of it is guys normally get a chance to go. I'll give you an example. Tommy Beretta, who transferred last year, already played a game with Norfolk or somebody in the East Coast League. As would virtually all of our seniors, everybody who wanted to play. I met with Ray last week, Ray Bryce, and he said the most disappointing part is he wanted to go and play a couple, play a little bit in the East Coast and have that opportunity to do that, because not knowing what he's going to do in the future, take jobs, do whatever, they won't get that opportunity right now on a tryout look type deal, which so many players get chances of doing. You know, really right now, if you're a college player and you're a decent college player, you have a chance of, I mean, if you're even average college player, you have a chance of going up and playing somewhere and playing some games somewhere in the East Coast, and those opportunities won't be there. So everybody's on the same page right now. It's kind of just focus on your studies and make sure you finish your academics.
So Coach Luke, it is a little bit different animal with basketball, D2 basketball. Guys like Kyle, what are their options right now? All these are smart kids anyway, but what are their options?
You know what? It's interesting you say that, because on Friday when we had gotten home, we got an email that afternoon that Kyle Monroe was the player of the region, right, of our region, and within 2 minutes, I had an email from agents saying, "What are Kyle's plans?" So they're looking for players. Kyle's a kid from our program that could, potentially play at the next level overseas, mm-hmm. for example. And there's a lot of fine places over there where he could go, and that would be a situation that he would, I met with him then on Saturday, and we discussed about those possibilities, and he'd be interested in that. But our other senior, Schuler's already accepted a job, so when he's done with school, he's moving on to bigger and better things.
Coach Kevin Luke from the men's basketball team is with us. It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We'll take a break, get some of the other guys and gals from the Turbo Agency to chime in here. You can send in questions for Coach Luke or Coach Schaan at dj@themix93.com. We are coming to you live from the Turbo Agency here on this Monday morning, closing out the men's basketball and hockey season, and we'll be back with more right after this on The Mix.
Dreaming up the ideal retirement is your job. Helping you get there is ours. That's why we encourage you to contribute to an IRA by April 15th. By investing in an Edward Jones IRA, you can take advantage of potential tax benefits for 2019 and give your money more time to potentially grow. To help make sense of your retirement goals before the April 15th tax deadline, contact me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor at 482-8680. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turbo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turbo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Here's the thing about new Cherry Vanilla Coke. Though Cherry's named first, all the flavors taste just as great. I mean, the name could have just as easily been Vanilla Cherry Coke, or it could have been Coke Cherry Vanilla. But since it's two amazing flavors of Coke, it could have also been Coke Vanilla Cherry Coke or Cherry Vanilla Coke Coke. Who wants a delicious Vanilla Coke? Unless you're in France, which would make it Le Coq de la Vanilla de la Cherry de la Creme. Which about covers it all. New Cherry Vanilla Coke. So good together. And New Cherry Vanilla Coke Zero Sugar. Same great taste as Zero Sugar.
Introducing New Cherry Vanilla Coke. A new and incredible combination of your favorite flavors. Grab an ice cold bottle of New Cherry Vanilla Coke or New Cherry Vanilla Coke Zero Sugar. Experience the delicious flavors of Cherry Vanilla Coke today. Cherry Vanilla Coke. So good together.
Welcome back here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We are in the midst of the Joe Schott Hour, the final one of the 2019-20 season. We'll, of course, have some updates throughout the summer with Coach as needed and keep us updated on what's going on with Michigan Tech Hockey. We are taking your questions today a little bit later on in the show, so you can send them in by email, dj@themix93.com. Jeff Mickish, former Michigan Tech Husky and one of the agents here at the Turbo Agency is with us. And Jeff, what were your thoughts on the Michigan Tech hockey season overall and the games you were able to see?
Well, I've been putting down, first of all, coaches, thanks for coming in here today. We really appreciate it. Like Bob said, it was fun to start the season off with Coach Sean coming in here to begin their season. But just writing down a couple notes here. First, I thought it was great. You know, obviously, when you get to the stretch run for any sport, but Michigan Tech sport, to see, you know, obviously I'm more attached to the hockey program, Luker, but to see the kids building, you know, and getting to that point, you get excited. So to see what happened here, you know, across sports, across college in general, is tough to see. With my son Parker, he's playing volleyball at Ohio State. So it hit home. He called me up. He said, it's over. And he was actually out last night. He called me, or on Saturday he called me. I said, you know, how are things going with the team? And he said, we're actually out with the seniors. Take them out for dinner tonight. And he said they were just devastated. You know, they were playing very well themselves. And that was a question I had to you guys. How is it working eligibility-wise across the spectrum with other sports? I didn't have a chance to get into detail with Parker with that. But they were actually – they had quite a bit of their season left. You know, they probably had – I think three more weekends before they got into their playoffs, but similar scenario, you know, starting to play really good down the stretch, and we're hoping to, you know, be in a good spot for their playoffs too. I'm not sure if that's something you guys can answer or not.
Well, we were actually talking about that this morning at coffee, because there's, you know, they already extended eligibility for spring sports for softball and things like that, probably track, that those students are going to get another year of eligibility because they didn't get a season in. And we talked like at, you know, I think we both have mixed emotions on it. You know, certainly I think Coach would like to have Kyle Monroe back. There's no question about it. I'd take Kyle Monroe. I mean, I think he's going to be as good at any, whatever he does. I think it'll be interesting what they do. There's supposedly talk about the potential of granting some eligibility, but when you look at it with hockey, and not the buts, but when you look at it with hockey and basketball, most teams were done.
Correct.
You know, so so their season. So really, it's a championship that was denied.
Correct.
I don't know if they would open it up. And your situation, exactly what we talked about today, is at what point? So if say they don't do it, I don't think they have to do it across the board and make a blanket rule.
Yeah.
I think if there's a certain amount of your season left, whatever that is, or however they want to do it. I think it'd be hard. They could do it, but I think it'd be hard when most teams were already done. They'd completed their collegiate eligibility. It's only tournament players that have gone on. They just haven't had a chance to win a tournament, a national tournament. But in your case, like you're saying, I could see where they would say, okay, listen, these people didn't get a chance to finish their season.
Right.
And there does come a point, as you know, as being an athlete yourself, where there are – and Luker said this morning, there's criteria in place that if you only play a certain amount of your season and things like that, by the NCAA standards, you're allowed to apply, if it's for an injury or whatever, for a red shirt. So they could, extend that period into certain sports and say, okay, we're going to let those players play. So I would hope that they would do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would do that in sports that already basically completed their regular season. There were a lot of players that were already done.
Yeah,
that's my thought.
The men's volleyball is actually considered a spring sport. They started playing their first matches after January.
Like so they're going to get that back because I heard all spring sports. That's what I saw the NCAA release.
Okay.
It said all spring sports.
All right.
So
yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to point out, just a couple thank yous, Coach. We do one of our main ads that we buy through, well, not through Dirk, but through actually Michigan Tech themselves, is the puck out of play. So we want, I'm not sure if you hear that during the game. I'm sure Luker does because he's a spectator. You got other things to pay attention to, but since you had a fantastic defensive zone coverage this year, we had a lot of pucks out of play. So we enjoy the yeah.
Now that I know that, we'll start doing that.
Shot lanes and passing lanes.
I'll tell guys where you don't have to play.
I think we signed a 3-year contract, so that's in play for us next year.
Thank you for all your support.
And the other thing was the Northern Series, since the season is technically over, I did watch the game on television, so I just wanted to see if you could actually air out how you actually felt after that Saturday evening game and come clean with us here a little bit.
Well, are you talking about the videos I keep getting from people? Is that what you're talking about? I'll tell you, that one, that they call it, I got a text from John Kyle and said, you're famous now. You have a meme, M-E-M-E. And I said to him, I texted back, what is a meme? I have no idea what a meme is. Right. It's something where they take a picture of you and people use it for things. And on that instance where I'm grabbing my head, we talked last week about it. I'm actually saying to the ref, he said to me he wasn't going to look at this spearing infraction on our guy.
Right.
Because we were mugging that poor little man. That was his words. I'm not looking at that, Joe. I wasn't even about to look at it. You're mugging that poor little man. And I'm like, I just was wow. Like, I grabbed my head. Like, are we talking about the same guy? What, that poor little man?
No, it was a great game to watch. I mean, you think about the playoff games that you guys have had there in the last however many seasons. Obviously, that was a great series to watch, but the WCHA championship game that was there, I was able to be at both of those games in person. Well, not the Saturday game, Friday game I was at, but I was at that one game playoff, and I've never been in a building with so much, I guess, just emotion, but nervousness. I mean, you could
tension,
like
a lot of
just tension. And as a spectator, it was everybody. Like, I was running into old Northern guys that I played against when I was at Tech, and it was just like we were nervous, like running into each other in the hallway. Like, at the beginning of the game, during the game, after the game.
Then you guys got physical, didn't you?
Yeah.
You started bumping each other.
Yeah. So.
Make sure you hit Goldberg for me.
Yeah. But anyways, that was a great series to watch. And, like I said, unfortunately, you guys weren't able to continue things on, but your guys were definitely building here.
The best that we can say is we went into coffee this morning, and Augie said to Luker, he said, you're 164th national champion. So they made the national tournament. So we're considering them 164th national champions, and I think they should put a banner up and get rings. I think they should put a banner. National champions 164th on it. No one, forever they'll be able to talk about what the heck that means. The best that we could do is say that we're, 1/4 WCJ playoff champions. So, but it's all good. You know, you talked about parallels too. Really, our program, since I've been here, certainly the last 2 years have paralleled almost weekend to weekend. When he has a little rough stretch, we seem to be having a little rough stretch. And when, last year was a little down year for them, last year was certainly a down year for us. This year they rebounded well, we rebounded well. So, maybe we should just talk a little bit more and try to make sure that we don't have any down stretches.
So, Coach Luke, can you give us any actual verbiage from a guy like Kyle Monroe after he found out that the season's over? I mean, do you remember any actual exchange with him?
It was clearly most disappointment, and what we didn't really have a chance to meet because, like I said, we were in line and jumping on the plane, and our guys knew based upon my reaction. So, as the gentleman was yelling at us to either get on the plane or get out of here, we got on the plane, and I was actually on the plane, and this will describe it all. It was full, but I just, again, making sure that all my guys are on the plane, and I looked back, and Monroe was in a seat behind me, and nothing needed to be said. He had his hood up over his face, and I saw tears dropping from his nose. So it just, that's what we're dealing with. Yeah. And
yeah, I think from our perspective, we and it sounds like you didn't, we kind of let our guys know even before we left that there was a really good possibility.
That was my next
happen.
Question. Did we, you guys have any
so,
idea?
And so it wasn't, and it was, because we were watching, live what was going on like I was on my phone and things, and we knew as soon as the Big Ten pulled out, like canceled their basketball tournament, there was a lapse in there before our league did it and before we got the call, but I knew at that point, I think I even texted Suzanne and some others that, it's over. Like, I know Mike Hastings and I, Coach Mankato, were going back and forth on it. You knew it was over because as soon as that happened, and we were actually on a conference call, and I think I said one thing on the call when they were doing all this new formatting for the playoff series, and my comment on the call was, is anybody talking to the NCAA to get ahead before we go out and put this release out that we're changing our playoff format and things? Is someone talking to the NCAA? Because I'm sure they'll give you an indication, wait until 4 o'clock or wait until noon or wait until something, because there's no way that things are going on from the major conferences that the NCAA is not aware of and that they're not making decisions. Like, if the NCAA is telling the Big Ten, we're pulling the plug on this, the Big Ten's going to say, why even play these basketball games? And what they did is they pulled people off the floor. Now, I don't know if that's how it shook, but as soon as we saw that, because we had known that other conferences and even teams in our league, somebody pulled out. There were two teams that pulled out and said, we're not putting our team. Yale was one of them. We're not playing. We're not putting our team in. We're not playing. We're forfeiting our series to this team. They weren't going to do it. And it started with the Ivies. But when you saw that happening, it was an hour, and I knew prior, hour and a half, that it was going to be called.
Yeah, same thing. You know, when the NBA went down and then the Big Ten went down, in fact, they canceled the Big East at halftime of one of the games.
That's right.
And, you know, we knew that there was that chance leaving that morning. However, you know, when they just cut it back to essential game personnel and parents, you know, if everybody's going to be there, what's the difference?
Right.
That was our thread of hope.
Right.
But, you know, certainly once everybody else went down, it
might,
was the same
and
thing.
It might be a little different with you, because what we were thinking is that I could see them canceling all these leagues, and that would buy time for the NCAA to figure out how they're going to handle their championships. So, and you were in a championship. You were in the NCAA. So there's, you know, I would have been, still had a lot of hope, championship wise, because everything was canceling primarily was league playoffs.
Correct.
Big Ten league playoffs.
Right.
So league playoffs, I figured we were done, but I it was still the thought of, okay, and I was thinking about you actually, how are they going to handle the NCAA? Cause I knew you were already there. Are they going to, if they cancel the NCAA, they're shutting everything down. Like everything's over. All sports are over, liability purposes, whatever.
One question, Dirk. I was watching a lot of the day the basketball was getting canceled and just listening to a lot of the coaches that got interviewed. And one coach that stood out in particular, because a lot of them seem to be very agreeable with the NCAA doing it, but I forget his name. You probably know him, the coach for Gonzaga, you know, did come out, and he was very disappointed. He said, why do we have to jump the gun so quick? You know, can we just postpone it for now, you know, and look at it down the road? Any thoughts on that? Because in reality, I know the logistics are probably a nightmare with all the television contracts that you have, because, I mean, there's a game when March Madness starts on 40 different channels, but I felt the same way.
I, selfishly speaking, I did too.
Right.
To give us a chance, no matter what the logistics were,
right,
just the opportunity to come back and try to play. With that being said, I think you hit it on the head for major basketball was with the TV contracts, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, then once it broke and everybody went, it was crazy and it was going to all be canceled.
Now, before we take a break, Jeff, I wanted to get your thoughts, if you can put yourself mentally back in your early 20s or, you know, whatever, when you were playing for Michigan Tech, and if something like this happened, you know, how would you feel, especially if it was your senior year and you were ready to go?
Well, that's the thing. You know, Coach told us a story about, you know, his senior star, and that's when you're that age and you're playing well and you got something special, you know, everybody feels that, you know, and you just, everybody truly believes you can win the next game. You know, so that's the hard part for those guys. I can't imagine being a senior and being in that situation, because you truly know it's your one shot. Mm-hmm. You got freshmen, sophomore, and juniors that believe, hey, we can come back and do this next year. And that's what these guys' jobs are, is to get these kids refocused and prepared for the next season. But as a senior, I couldn't imagine going through that, knowing that's the situation. And the same thing goes for, you know, watching. I feel horrible for these kids that were down in the high school.
Calumet, yeah.
Calumet Marquette kids. Mm-hmm. The same thing. I mean, they were there. And you got a lot of seniors playing in those games, and those kids know it's their last game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we saw that it kind of come down the same way that same night, because I helped with the team Copper Country. We were getting ready to go down this weekend to play in the state finals. A lot of those kids were playing in the high school finals as well. And the same kind of thing happened that night. USA Hockey came out and announced all national tournaments are done. MHSAA MAHA held an emergency meeting shortly after that, and then they followed suit and they said all state tournaments are done. And then it was probably 2 days later that MHSAA then made their decision. So those kids were already traveling and down there. So, I mean, we're seeing it across a wide spectrum of athletes, high school and college, where a lot of these kids are going through, it's devastating. Because a lot of these kids, especially at the high school level, these kids are never going to, you know, suit up for a team again or in a competitive environment that way. So, very difficult. Fortunately, the Monroe kid, it sounds like he's going to get a chance to play at the professional level or will have a good shot to do that. So he has that opportunity, but not at the college level.
Yeah, and there's different levels of, obviously, of disappointment. As bummed out as we all are about Michigan Tech hockey, you know, having their season stopped, there still was a lot to prove for Michigan Tech hockey. A team like Minnesota State had guys coming back that could have been in the A making some money this
right.
year. They came back as a group, correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, to try to win one NCAA game, which they have not been able to do with this wonderful group that they have. And then for it to just be over like that, it's tough. You feel bad for them.
That was my comment to Mike Hastings when we were talking. I sent a note to he and Tom Ceratori congratulating them on a great year. Both of them, I thought that Bemidji did an exceptional job with their hockey team. But I especially sent the note out to Mike Hastings saying that, I know the sacrifices that a lot of athletes made and a lot of people made to win a championship, or as you said, just to establish something that program hasn't established, and they had everything in place. I mean, they had everything in place. Saying that, I was so excited to play them.
Absolutely.
Because just like we were a couple of years ago, I just think that we did so much to prepare ourselves for that series. Everything we were doing for the last month, 5 weeks, was to get ready for the big ice for Northern, which I felt was going to happen, and then to be able to compete and offset a lot of what Mankato did. So it certainly would have been a formidable task, but we were excited for that opportunity.
Absolutely. We've got a lot more coming up. We are just very happy to be here at the Turbo Agency in Hancock for the Joe Schaan Hour, the final one of the 2019-20 season. Coach Kevin Luke for the Men's Basketball team is with us as well. We're going to get some questions in here. You still have time to get a question in. DJ@themix93.com. And we'll be back with more of the Joe Schaan Hour right after these.
Clear your calendars. 21 Days of Beauty is back at Ulta Beauty with daily beauty steals of 50% off the must-haves. It doesn't get better than this. This week only, get Mega Volume with Bad Gal Bang Mascara by Benefit. Grab the Anastasia Brow Wiz Pencil and snag cult favorite Tarte Shape Tape Concealer only at Ulta Beauty. With 21 Days of Fabulous Finds, what will you discover? Hurry in. Event ends April 4th. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful.
The new best friend moment. The is it my turn to get up moment.
Thanks, Dad.
The they grow up so fast moment. You experience a lot of moments in your home. And at Kidde, we're here to remind you that installing fire safety products can protect them all. So take a moment to shop Kidde today and protect a lifetime of moments ahead. Find Kidde products at the Home Depot.
Do you hear that Coors Light being poured? It's the perfect temperature. How can I tell just based on the sound? I can't. But I can see that the mountain on the can is blue. And when the mountain is blue, your Coors Light is perfectly cold. Coors Light is cold lagered for a crisper taste, cold filtered for brightness and clarity, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. Doesn't that sound good? 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
Welcome back here on the Joe Schaan Hour on Mix 93 WKMJ. Coach Kevin Luke is with us as well. Bob Franti and Jeff Mickish from the Turvo Agency also joining us here today. And Bob, you had a question, I think, for the coaches as far as recruiting?
Yes. If Kevin and Joe could both address how the current situation with the coronavirus is impacting recruiting procedures.
Go ahead, Luke, because it's safe for both of us.
Yeah, well, it's what the NCAA has basically done is told us it's a dead period. So because of everything being canceled, we will not be going out evaluating anybody. There will be no official any type of visit, campus visits, nothing. The only contact we can have with prospective student athletes right now is by phone.
That's an NCAA mandate. So we're still calling. We've actually committed 2 kids in this amount of period, but it's you know, prior commitments that we had offers out and things like that. So there's no, and there's nothing to recruit anyways. There's nothing to watch. There's everything shut down.
I'm going to throw this question out to both of you that we got off the email, and then you can think about it. Then I'll give another one that we can answer right away. But somebody wants to know, what was your most satisfying game or moment this season? So I mean, probably pretty easy for Coach, but for Coach Schaan. But anyway, we can talk about. But the other question that we have that came in was, what are your procedures, Coach Luke? We can start with you. With the once the season's over, as far as exit interviews, how does that all work with the basketball team?
Well, what normally happens now at this time of the year is we'll have our season-ending meeting, and then we have to get mandated 2 weeks off, and then we can get into, you know, what is postseason practicing in a normal year. Obviously we can't do it this year. So what's going to happen with us is we will have our year ending meetings when some of the guys have gone home because of school. We'll have meetings when everybody gets back, individually, and then we'll get an opportunity to wrap things up if that's what we do. But in a normal year, we'd have a season-ending meeting, we'll have our postseason workouts, and a year-ending meeting, and get things straightened out
So when you talk to a player after the season that's coming back next year, are you like, this is what you need to do better, this is what you've been improving on quite a bit, this is what you need to work on type
of
stuff?
It entails all of that.
Yeah.
Some good, some bad, some... You know, it's a quite frank meeting, because I want to know what their feelings are, where they want to be, and that's how much I can kind of stretch how hard we go at them is what their personal goals are going to be. Each kid is different, so we try to get a feel, if that's fair to say. But certainly things that we will tell them is if they want to change from where they are this year, you know, we'll be quite frank and honest, and we'll get the fair feedback from them also.
How about you, Joe?
It's primarily there's an evaluation process where they evaluate themselves, and it's really, except for their evaluation, I ask them actually to evaluate as part of that the coaching, their coaching as well, the communication, the some of what you say, best moments, worst moments of the year, where they see themselves, how do you rate yourself in this, how do you, you know, practices, games. What would you like to change? What would you like to change as far as the program? What can help? If you were a coach, what was the first thing you'd do? Things like that. And then I ask them, there's a part of it that's hard evaluations of the coaches. I want that. I want them. And I think we have the relationship with our guys, and they're very honest in what they do. And we met with 9 actually starting on Friday. Smitty's already gone. Alex Smith already gotten, because he's Canadian, he already gotten his car on, sent me a nice note on Saturday and said I'm on my way, or maybe it was Sunday, I think it was Saturday morning, though, I'm on my way, you know, thanks for everything, blah, blah. And, but we do our evaluations are primarily that, and then, the seniors are always great because there's nothing on the line with them, there's nothing on the line, and then, the underclassmen, give us a good feeling of where they think they are. as Luker said, and then we can tell them where we think that they are. But we have so much communication during the year. It's you know, I wouldn't say it's a formality. It's always good intel. But a lot of it is talking about expectations going forward and what you need to do to, you know, to reach the, what you really want to be as a player to reach your goals and where we think your limiting factors are. And we're honest. And what I like about it is they're honest. And that's, you know, we make a lot of changes to what we do based off that.
Luker, one thing I wanted to ask, you know, in regards to obviously basketball is a lot different from hockey. I'm kind of going through this with my son as well, and I couldn't imagine playing a sport that way, but can only have five guys on the court at one time, right? And a lot of those guys play the majority of the time versus, you know, back when I played hockey, obviously you're trying to, you're one of the, you want to be one of the 12 guys that's in the lineup that night. You know, you're going to get some ice time or you're going to be asked to do something. How is it communicating with players at the end of the season? Obviously, you probably have guys that sit there on the bench and believe that they should be a starter, right? Right from day one. You know, it's probably, how do you communicate through the season at the end of the year with a lot of those kids that everybody wants to play, right?
Everybody wants to play, and it's a great point and a great thought with all this. We know that they all want to play. And we have an open door policy if there's things that aren't going well for them and what do I got to do. So over the course of time, guys will come in and say, hey, what do I have to do to get on the floor? And that is in regards to exactly what we're talking about, our season ending meetings, which just start a little bit early. It's really interesting when you get those type of players because at some point, Both of us are saying this is team first.
Right.
And if you're going to, I will try to put a little heat on them and if this is the case, hey, what do I got to do on the court? We'll talk about that. And then I will press their buttons a little bit and say, if you feel this strongly about this, who do you want me to take out?
Yeah.
And I want them to talk.
Right.
And I want to get their feelings and because In our sport, because there's only five in any sport, because it's a team sport,
right.
You have to really, I get that everybody wants to play, but I also can't penalize the chemistry and penalize this for one individual if they're going on their own.
Right.
And that's not why guys come in, but
right.
Yet there is in some cases not a fair situation that I gotta nip that in the bud. But for the most part, we'll have those meetings and say, if you want to play, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do a little more. You're good here, but you got to do this.
Coach Luke, can we go back to that question? Your favorite moment or favorite game of the season?
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting when you said that, and I think for me, it was our home Ferris State game because they've been so good, and we kind of got them pretty good, and that was when we had. Messed up a couple games, if that's fair to say, but I did go to the team and say, I think that there's a national tournament team in this locker room. Going out on a limb because I thought that could happen, and whether I was right or wrong by saying it, that's the way we were going to coach them. And then they kind of gradually, well, maybe there is. It had been 5 years since we had done that. And so I think it was a Ferris State game, and then when we had Davenport and Grand Valley at home and convincingly won those games, then we knew that. And, of course, we were a long way from being out of it. And then when the tournament came around, you know, we had talked about our season as a group in the locker room and said, all I said was, if you want to right or wrong the games we dropped, you can do it this week in the conference tournament. Because if you win this, you're in the NCAA
right.
tournament. And they righted some wrongs.
How about you, Coach?
Well, obviously the GLI is a major one, as it was with a lot of players. Although beating Northern was a big deal for a lot of the players too, was their highlight. But the reason the GLI was for me, because we hadn't done that since I've been here. That's one obstacle that we haven't, you know, now between that and a national tournament, you know, we haven't won the league yet either, the regular season, but we have won the playoffs since I've been the head coach. So you want to do those things. I know how much that means, the GLI means to Michigan Tech. I know how much it means to Suzanne. That was probably the highlight for me with regards to that. But really, every win, you know, it's more the losses. You know what I mean? Like I told you, I've told this story. Red Berenson told me one time, I was around him. He didn't tell me, but I was around when he said, someone asked him, how do you ever think about retiring? And his answer was, every time we lose. And that's right. You wake up with such an empty feeling after every loss, every loss. That's why it's so, you know, if you're only going to win one game, win Saturday's game so you don't have that feeling for about 4 days before the weekend, because every loss affects you. So it's more the losses to me than the victories, but certainly the GLI, having done that now since I've been here, was a big deal.
Coach, a question coming in from one of our listeners. Can you talk at all, any more information on the century celebration next season with the Huskies?
I don't. That's there's a committee working on that, and if I knew anything, I'd let that be released in a timely fashion anyways through the channels that they want to do that. But I do know that, I can say this, that they're working on a jersey for that and things like that. I've seen some renditions, pretty cool, throwback type jersey. As Michigan Tech always does, they're going to do things the right way, as they always do.
Now, the question, right, before we go to a break for Coach Sean, what can you talk about as far as Robbie Badun?
Robbie, I guess I can talk about anything. He's asked to go in the portal, the transfer portal, and I support that. I told Robbie, we want you back. He's great in every way for the program. He was good in the classroom. His professors love him. He was good. You know, he worked hard every day on the ice for us. But he was never the really end of the year as the starter for us. And he's graduated. He has a year of eligibility. And like all of them, you know, these kids, these are like your own kids, you know, and he wants to go, if he's going to play next year, very similar to Tommy Beretta a year ago. Tommy said, I want to play every game. Tommy, I can't guarantee you're going to play every game. You know, I just can't. I'm going to be honest with you. I could sit here and lie to you if you want me to, but I can't promise you that you're going to play every game. He went and he basically got that role at Vermont. I think he ended up with 5 points on the year. We would have certainly given, with that production, I love Tommy, but we would have given that ice time to Crespi or someone like that. All things being equal, someone that we thought had potential to rise a little bit and give them a chance to grow, all things being equal. Robbie wants to go someplace or play someplace where he's going to play 20, 30 games, 25 games. He wants to be the guy, and he wants it to be, because he said, I have job opportunities. I don't have to play anymore. But if I do play, I want a chance of playing pro. So in order to do that, I need to play all the time. And I'm not going to be dishonest with anybody. And so what the situation is here. It's wide open here. I certainly want you back. I support exactly the way you're thinking. So how we left it is, he said, I want to leave it open to return, but I want to be able to look for something else. And I endorse him looking for something else. I think it's the right thing to do. You know, you love these kids. I don't want to do anything that's going to hold a guy back.
Yep. Yeah, Coach, the game has definitely changed that way. You know, you see that, I mean, that this kind of thing never happened back when I played.
I know.
You know, you see it with kids coming into your program, going back to junior A, mm-hmm. ended up going somewhere else. I guess it's a double-edged sword, right? But I guess the flip side of it is you do see there's opportunity for kids in that situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he may get that opportunity somewhere mm-hmm. else. You know, we'll see, I guess, down the road here. But I guess my question is, you know, with that opportunity, you know, you see it with some other kids. It sounds like, I'm not sure if he's looking to go into a graduate program or whatever else, but I've noticed that Northern had a kid in their program that I believe played 4 years at Notre Dame, and then he went into a graduate program
exactly.
at Northern.
Yeah, that's the rule.
And I think that's great that kids have that opportunity, but thinking back, just for me, I couldn't imagine playing 4 years at Michigan Tech and being like, oh, I'm going to grad school at Michigan State. I'm going to go be a
starter. Well, you just impressed me, and I didn't say anything a few minutes ago. You were talking about how hard it would when you knew you were playing your last game here.
Right.
You know, people, Luke, I'm glad you're here because you keep me only, I'm only going to get in a little bit of trouble with you here because you're talking. But, you know, I sit on the bus. You know, when you're on the bus, and I said, I think it was harder on the coaches than it was on the players. And it was certainly hard on the players because virtually everybody that I've talked to so far, 9 in the exit interview, said, what was your worst experience? This year, the worst experience was when it came to an end. That's what they're all saying. A couple said when we lost to Huntsville, but virtually it's when it came to an end. You said that. You said, I would hate for my last game to be that way. Mm-hmm. Luker talked about Monroe. He said he saw a tear with Kyle Monroe.
Yeah.
Our guys are all on the bus, and I just mentioned that, Ray. It's different, you know, and people don't like hearing me say that, but these guys are all thinking about, even Ray is thinking about, I wish I would have got that chance. They want, you know, there's a side of it that says, okay, it's over. Now I got my chance to try to play a couple games this year in the professional hockey at some level. It wasn't like when you were there, like even the East Coast when I was there was few and far between.
Right.
And now, it's always on to the next thing. You see so many, I mean, we're scouring the transfer portal right now for some of our needs.
Yeah.
Because, I was told by an NCAA person, over 30% of all athletes in Division I sports, over 30% transfer. That's why they want to open it up and allow everybody a one-time transfer with no penalty.
Right.
Hockey's unique in that they're coming in so late as it is. You know, they know their decision. So you're going to see more. You're going to hear about more from Michigan Tech that are looking to transfer, that are in the same boat that Robbie is. And it's happening with every other university as well.
Right. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more of your questions, trying to get to as many of these as we can. We will thank the Turbo Agency for having us here today. And, of course, Kevin Luke and Joe Sean. We'll be back with more of the Joe Sean Hour right after this on Mix 93.
Hello, business owners. This is Mike Mikola
and Jeff Mikish from the Turbo Agency. Do you wish your business insurance plan was simple and easy to understand?
With our team's more than 50 years of combined experience in the insurance business, we have developed ways to simplify the process for you.
Stop in to see us at 230 Quincy Street in downtown Hancock, or give us a call at 482-0080 to set up an appointment.
Turbo, insurance simplified.
It's almost Bush o'clock. A time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Bush beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1. Bush. Crisp, cold Bush. Enjoy it responsibly. Bush beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's March Madness at your party headquarters of the Copper Country, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All six packs of bottled beer is on sale. All 2 liters are $2 for $3. Canada Dry flavored seltzer 8-packs are $2 for $5. Pepsi 12 packs of cans are $2 for $10. And all 1.25 liter Pepsis and Dews are $4 for $5. Check out the frozen food section featuring Red Baron pizzas. Only $3 for $11. All sales at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet do not include tax and deposit.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
Welcome back here on Mix 93. We are in the last stages here of the Joe Sean Hour. Thanks to Kevin Luke for being with us here today. A couple more questions to get in here for the guys. And next question is, Coach Luke, how much video scouting of prospects is done versus live views of watching a recruit?
Well, we watch, because of our remote distance, we'll watch a lot of film. To initially get it started, we've made a decision as a staff. We will not sign anybody, but just from film, of which we have done in the past, we will try to see, one of us will try to get out and see them live a couple times. So we will initiate it with film because it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
If it piques an interest, we'll get down there.
And how much better has that been, being film, from when you first started?
Oh my gosh, it's
you know, when it's black and white.
And I'm so good with video, as you know. We'll get off the phone, and it'll be in our email immediately.
Wow.
As far as having films sent to us.
How about you, Coach?
We'll do like him. I'll watch some film, and we'll use that. But my feeling is that culture is everything, and I want to know everything about these kids. I want to know how they treat their dog. I want to know, you know, how they what kind of a family person they are. I want to know everything, because you saw what happened a year ago when there was a lack of that attention to detail on the individual, and culture's everything for me. You can't grow. We had a great culture this year. I said Smitty, Ray, those guys did a great job. We didn't a year ago, and I'll be the first to admit that. So I don't want to, I want to know everything about a player. So we'll watch video, and we still do, even when they're committed, we watch video on, and we watch the shifts. We watch video. We want to know how are they trending up? Are they trending down? Are we bringing them in next year, the following year? But I want to know everything about them.
So, it has changed tremendously from when, like, Jeff, obviously, in the middle 90s. You obviously were coach back in the 90s, too. It has changed tremendously, hasn't it, the whole recruiting aspect? I mean, just with the technology, you know, with the technology, I guess.
No, it hasn't changed. We still, no, it's, you know, you're still, I would recruit him. I would recruit his brother. It's about the individual. We learn, you know, when we were fortunate enough at Lake State to win championships, when I was getting to see that firsthand all the time, there was a thought of we're only bringing, you know, between Jeff, it was primarily, I think, Jeff's philosophy, Jeff Jackson's, that he only wanted one or two guys and I've talked about this before, from a metropolitan, from a urban area, from Detroit, from Toronto, because you're getting a certain type of individual potentially, you know, and that'd be a Doug Wade or a Brian Ralston or somebody like that. And other than that, it was rural. It was going rural. Those kids that were on the farm and things like that. Nowadays, I still want to look for those rural type of kids, but the world is so small, there is no rural. Everybody's got the phone and things like that. So it's so much harder to find that character. That's why you see me recruit so many people that have ties that so many people know from the Houghton area, and the Hallinans, the Killinans, the Pietilas that go on through, those guys, the Ray Bryce, because you know what you're getting. That's so important to me, to know what you're getting and be able to work with that. The Trenton Bliss came from Mick down at Green Bay. This kid, he'll fit. And he's been a great player, leading scorer this year. So,
well, that was my next question for both of you. I guess, Kevin, Luke, maybe we can answer this. Do you obviously have people that you trust out and abroad and that you will obviously take their word for a lot of things?
Over the course of 33 years, yes. We have our contacts, and certainly you trust them, and they're going to say, we've had guys say, no, run as fast as you can from this guy or not. But in terms of what you guys were just talking about, I do think recruiting has changed in a sense of the social media and all the promptness that we talked about as far as getting film, as far as recruiting. I don't think it changes much. We have to sell a university. We have to sell a location. We have to sell our programs. We're unique at Michigan Tech. And I think that has remained consistent. And I do agree wholeheartedly with Coach as far as being a culture kid. It takes a special person to survive up here, whether it be academically, whether it be location, whether more importantly, being away from home in this day and age. So we try to look for that also.
We don't really have we have one minute left here. Jeff, can you just, your reason why you came to Michigan Tech? Obviously a lot of ties here, but you had some very good options in your recruiting process.
Yeah, a lot of it, I was very close. Michigan, Mel had been recruiting me to Michigan at that time, and that was somewhere that I really wanted to go. Patrick and I had an agreement that we both wanted to play in the same spot, but even though he had a very good freshman year here, he wanted me to keep, my options open. But it boiled down to being close to family, and obviously our father had played here too, so it in the long run it ended up making the decision easy for ourselves. But going back to what you brought up with Coach, I think the main thing, especially here with Patrick right now in hockey, is just the youth side of it. Kids are being watched at 14, 15 very closely, and at his level and at the collegiate level. So I think that's where, it's really hard to sometimes find that character when a kid is 14, 15 years old. He has a lot of maturing to do still, but the game's gotten so competitive, and we're watching these kids all over the place.
I want to thank you guys so much for coming in here today, Coach Luke and Coach Sean, for the final. Thanks to Bob, obviously, and Jeff here too, and having us. We hope to do this again real soon. It was a fun year for both teams and all of Michigan Tech athletics, and we can't thank Turbo for being a great sponsor for both on the radio and at the rinks here, as we always hear. But But thank you guys a lot. We appreciate it. Thanks to everybody that sent questions in. We'll keep you updated throughout the season with a couple of spotted in Joe Sean hours here on Mix 93. And we'll say so long. Again, thanks to everybody. That's the 2019-20 season here for Michigan Tech Hockey and Michigan Tech Men's Basketball. Thanks, everybody.